Oh man, Zoom changed its recording thing.
Oh yeah,
slightly updated. Now it's like recording in progress instead of this meeting is being recorded. So anyway, welcome to the Toddcast, guys. We're back.
Welcome, Thursday Warriors.
Thursday Warriors, line up and represent. So make sure you guys do us a favor and hit that thumbs up button, and make sure you guys make a comment on our YouTube channel, so it helps us get a bunch more stuff. We have 72 subscribers right now.
72,
and which getting is almost we are a little under half the amount of subscribers, and we are episodes. This is the 105th legacy numbered episode, which is crazy because
105 or 150.
150.
Yeah, 150. Yeah.
Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Did I say 105? My bad.
You said 105.
Oh, I said 105th. I meant 150th.
150th.
Crazy that, you know, this crazy thing that I started, you know, back in the day with Ken and Chip turned into, then morphed into me, Bo, and TJ for a while. And now it's me and you. Like, this has been very good. I love it that everybody just keeps coming back and checking it out. I love our fandom.
Me too.
You know, we're this big dub NDC family, and we love you guys so much. while we're waiting for everybody to get in and watch, I got some NDC housekeeping of cool events coming up. Yes.
I'm doing a heart thing. Yeah, sorry. Can I? Sorry.
My heart's real fat.
You got it.
There we go. My fat. It's got cholesterol filled fat.
You better eat some Cheerios.
I'm gonna ride my bike some more and get that thin heart going on. But we got some cool events coming up. Don't forget next weekend, not this coming one, but the one after that is not only Harrisburg Comic Con, where Todd and Amanda will be, and you can give them high fives all weekend. Is the legendary basement sale. If you've never been there, it's crazy. 500,000 sorted dollar books. 8 a.m. we open the door. 7 p.m. we close it. You can fill a long box for $250. It's going to be nuts. So come prepared. And yeah, there's a lot of great local Greasy Spoon diners in Elwood. So make sure you guys check that out too. And then the weekend after that, which is the last weekend of the month, Justin and I will be down at the Hall of Fame Comic-Con over in Canton, Ohio. Then the first weekend of October is the Waterfront Anniversary Sale. So we will have some cool stuff going on for that. The weekend after that, so the second weekend of October, will be Sci-Fi in the Valley down in Altoona. We'll be there. I know it's during New York Comic Con, but, you know, it's a lot cheaper to go to Altoona and hang out for the weekend than it is to New York right now. And then at the weekend after that brings us to Three Rivers Comic Con. outside, light in the parking lot at the waterfront. It's going to be a hella good time. We have some spooky, cool guests coming.
Scary.
We have Dawn Simpson coming all weekend, Sammy Castillo, who else? Howard Bender, Sean Gabarin, a couple other guys, some cool vendors. We have a really awesome vendor that deals in 80s and 90s nostalgia toys called Eternia Dreams. Check those guys out on Facebook. They have an amazing store down in Maryland, and they are super awesome. I know a couple guys that are very excited to check that out. And it's 2 days. Don
Simpson, so.
I know. Don's a great guy. He's awesome. Andrew Harmon will be there.
I thought you were going to say Andrew Garfield. I'm like, damn, how did you swing that?
No, that would be sweet, but no.
Well, I'm going to dress up like Spider-Man, and I'm going to just pretend that I'm Andrew Garfield. No one will know. We have.
I mean,
same
you're tall
physique.
Enough to be him, but
yeah,
you got to grow your hair out, man. You got to have that like David Tennant pompadour that he had going on.
Yeah, I can get a hairpiece. I can do it.
You just look like you have a mane, like a My Little Pony.
Yes,
that'd be awesome. The guys from Heroinburg will be there. They have a whole crew coming. That's going to be great. Cool. And for the first time ever, if you have not gotten one of our convention beers, you'll be able to buy it on the spot and get your this year's bottle signed by one Michael T. Gilbert, who worked on Elric, and then also Mr. Monster, which is the beer we're doing this year. It is the Mr. Monster, Mr. Monster Bad Brain Stout is what it's called. So Helltown will be there with the first 3 years beers, or first 4 years beers, and then the guys from Shoebrew will be there with the Mercy Sparks and Mr. Monster, and you'll be able to sample it and buy it. Prices are on the website, and I think the most is like $10 for one of the big bomber bottles. It's pretty rad. So if you've ever wanted to collect those, it's awesome.
That's a pretty cool title too for a Halloween light fest outside.
It's going to be fun, man. Oh, yeah. And I'm pretty positive. I'm waiting for confirmation tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We should have a bat boat, like a 66 Ooh. Bat boat, full size. It's going to be awesome.
Bring really your excited. Shark repellent. You're going to need it.
Yes, shark repellent needed all day. I really hope that some cosplayers know that this is coming and then dress up, like bring their kids as sharks and just tell them to like run around the boat all the time, because I'm pretty sure he has cans of shark repellent for people to take photos with, because if he doesn't, I'm gonna let him know to make sure that works. But that's Little Dude's Garage. They're a local guys. You've seen them with the Mach 5 at our show, the updated Mystery Machine. Great. Oh, Tomator, the little Tomator that we've had at the shows. They're amazing guys. Some of the best people I've ever worked with. And I just want to give them a shout out because they're awesome.
The Mach 5 was cool when I saw that. I loved that.
Oh, dude. I got to ride in it into the mall, like through the mall. It was the coolest thing ever because I got to wear the helmet. And Eddie drove it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool! And it's like an old Corvette that it sits on. Oh man, that's it was cool. Loud, just ringing through the old Century 3 Mall when nothing was in it. Oh, so
did you like? Did you like when they did the movie? Did you like the movie? We don't have to get too deep into. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
I'm a big Matthew Fox fan. You know, because I loved him on Lost. I loved him on Party of Five. I thought he played a great Racer X. So,
yeah, he did.
Yeah, and
that cast in that entire was
John Goodman in it.
Yep.
Yeah,
John Goodman was in it.
Yeah. Oh man, now I just really want to find that and give it another spin, man. Like that's so good.
Yep. That was when I got my new TV. That was one of the first things I watched on it. I was like, oh, watch this, because it's such a gorgeous movie to watch.
Nice. I also want to give a shout out to anybody who came out to MementoCon last weekend and hung out. It was their first year. They went up against a lot of crazy stuff going on, like Dragon Con, Renaissance Festival, Boston Comic Con, the Rib Fest, which I really wanted to be at, but instead I was at MementoCon. But it was all right for a first year show. Like it has a lot of potential to really kick it up a notch and be a premier thing. So I'm really hoping that that it you know, when it comes back next May, that it kicks a lot of ass, man. I think it's going to be good. But if you're into like celebrities and getting your picture with people and meet and greets and panels, it was the bang for your buck. Type of thing. So, but I thought it was good. For first year, I thought it was all right. So, all right. Now, what you're all here for? Let's talk comics.
Comics.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Heads or tails.
Hold on a second. I gotta find your photos again. I don't know why it's being weird. I'll let you go first.
Okay.
This is going to be in the order that you sent me them, so.
Star Wars, High Republic. This is a manga. And it kind of ties into, it's some different characters from the stuff that has been in the High Republic stuff that I covered in previous weeks. And it's the similar event. There's that psychic plant monster that's like feeding on people. And it's kind of, so it's kind of tying into like what's going on, like with the comic book, but in a manga style, and it's fantastic. A lot of cool, fun characters, quick read, but really fun. If you like the High Republic stuff, if you're reading like the new comic, the adventures, the High Republic adventures, you'll like this book a lot. It's number one, so that means there's more coming, I'm sure. This one was actually delayed for a while and finally came out. I think it was supposed to come out earlier this year. But, and then I'll just show you real quick too, if you like those, there are several other ones. These are just regular, you know, novels, but
prose,
you can you can get them at, I think we had some of them at the store, some at Walmart. So
I heard that Light of the Jedi one was like really, really good. Was that the Charles Soule one?
Yes, that one. And then I think there was, I thought there was another one that he worked on, but I might be wrong. Yeah, that was there. That was the only one. But I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. They're really working on building that universe, to prepare
I was gonna say nobody wants them to go past where they are. They all want them to go back.
Like, can you just go backwards?
Can we get some even more prequel stuff? Just kick it on back. Just go back.
Like, because it's either that or time travel to erase everything else.
Yeah, so we all know how time travel works. Badly.
Badly. Yes.
Badly.
I was like, we do.
Yes, it's always badly. That's exactly.
Okay.
All right. My first book is Green Lantern 2021 Annual. This was cool because it takes place between between issues 4 and 5. So Jessica Cruz has gotten a Yellow Lantern ring, which is super badass in my opinion anyway, and goes to new Corrigor, the new planet of the Sinestro Corps. And she's got like Lisa Drax and a couple guys in chains with her. She kind of meets with Sinestro, and Sinestro is like, I don't think you understand how to use the ring. So this whole book is really like her learning to understand what fear really is and how to use fear in a positive way. And it really kind of spins Sinestro in that anti-hero light that he is sometimes put in, where, you know, he's not a Green Lantern, so he's not doing things with will, but, you know, even though he does try to fix things with fear, he's not trying to do it in a way for people to, it's not trying to be like dictatory fear. It's more just like to get people to understand their fear and kind of embrace their fear and then almost get over it. So he gives her a ring. She goes all the way back to Earth, and a ship's in danger. Hal steps in, and then is just kind of like, what the hell, Jessica? Like, what are you doing? So they have a pretty good back and forth. You get to kind of see the consequences of how Sinestro kind of taught her how to use that fear, and then how she really used it in the end. And I really thought the story was awesome. The Green Lantern book right now has been so solid. And I really enjoy a lot of it. I think the coolest thing about this book, and this might just be me because I think it's awesome, is that Jessica's eye, like it's not the Green Lantern now, it's the symbol for the Sinestro Corps. And yeah. I thought that was a good touch because I didn't even notice it really for like the first couple pages. And I was like, oh, damn, they changed that too. That's so cool.
It kind of reminds me of like Phoenix in the Age of Apocalypse. She had like the red that went like around her eye.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Almost. And then they kind of use that look for like Penance / Rachel when she first showed up.
Yeah.
Like in the face, and they kind of made it those slash, almost like slash yep. lines, like yeah. the wings. I thought it was really cool. So
I think what's cool about that too, because I remember when the first issue came out and I read it and I reviewed that one, it was like, they did like three stories in one or something. And yeah. it was Jessica Cruz was like on a ship without her. She had no Green Lantern ring. And right. she beats up Lisa Drax.
Yep.
And you're just like, this is the girl that was too afraid to, she was afraid because she couldn't harness the willpower.
Yeah.
And that makes me hate her less, because that story, I was like, oh man, that's a really cool idea for her. Like that she doesn't have the ring and she's fighting and she seems more brave now. And so this idea of her getting the fear ring, but then yeah. now all of a sudden it's like she doesn't have the fear. She can use that to make constructs and be strong. It's like she's finding her path now. And yeah. I feel like this is where this character always was meant to go. Even if it wasn't at the beginning, this is where this character was always meant to go. This is the best thing for her character. So
I thought it was very reminiscent of when his daughter became a Yellow Lantern as well.
Yeah. Yep.
And how she went from a Green Lantern to a Yellow Lantern. And it's almost like interesting how they keep like shifting people from green to yellow.
Yeah.
And making them kind of understand what Sinestro's side of fear is, not just like fear as in terror, but like yeah. fear as in like doubt. More
yeah
you know yeah. and that's really I think the coolest part for me. I thought that was very well done.
I think his Sinestro's daughter at one point too, after she went to be a Yellow Lantern, then I think she betrays him to Hal at one point in the story, which was yeah. interesting. So
all right, next book.
All right. So this book is finally that. There's the guy on the left. That's the creepy monster that we saw in the last issue. This book is starting to really get good. Second issue, artwork's fantastic. This character, this female character, is just hanging out in the house, having conversations with this dark entity. And it okay. reminds me the way she starts off that she's afraid and then kind of embraces it kind of reminds me of like Lydia from Beetlejuice.
Okay.
It's like she isn't afraid of this thing and everybody else was afraid, but she's going to find out more about this thing. And in turn, she's going to find out more about herself. Mm. And she sits down after not being able to do like any good paintings at all. And she's like, man, all right, here we go. It's completely dark. This creature thing snuffs out the light and she just paints. And then she's like, do you want to see it? And he's like, yeah, can I come over? And he comes over and it's just like, you don't see all of it. You just see like little pieces, hands and shoulders and stuff. And she's almost embracing it like this love, you know? Mm-hmm. And he looks at it and he's like, is that how you see me? And she's like, I think, I'm not sure. And he goes, it's beautiful. And then it pans out and you see this picture of his entire face and what it is. And it's just, it's crazy. I don't want to show you.
I feel like it's like magic and seduction and.
It feels that way. Like it's not, it doesn't feel like anymore like it's a ghost. It almost feels like there's some kind of magic that she's tapping into. And that darkness, the me you love in the dark, is the thing that's guiding her and helping her to learn more about herself and to just let go and enjoy and create her art and not be so stressed about things.
Okay.
So it's really interesting. It's not stuff that like this and Middle West. I guess I should start expecting this stuff from Scotty Young because he's an award-winning, you know, artist and writer. But you usually think of him for like, you know, Goofy Venom on Licking the Lollipop and X Babies right. and stuff. So it was fantastic. If you aren't reading this, there wasn't a lot of number ones at the store when it came out. There's second prints of number ones at the store and number twos that just came out. So go pick it up because you shouldn't be missing this series.
I think there's a couple first prints floating around the company too. So if anyone wants to hop on the store website and shop the other stores, you might be able to get one there. And as always, you can buy it right on there and then just ask the store to transfer it and they will do that full free. So super easy. Cool. All right. My next book is Black Manta number one.
Ooh.
I'll be honest, this book was boring. real boring. The art was really good. And it kind of showed him like somebody stole some stuff from him. So he tries to get back this entity that's basically like sucking people into, or he's trying to get the stone that like is some kind of relic. So he like fights these pirates off, which is Captain Demo, which is super not awesomely creative. He kind of looks like Blackbeard, has a hook hand. It's just awkward. Like you don't really, it's really hard to follow. Like they take him into this, he has like a weird, like pocket universe lair. He has like this, there's like an homage to Reservoir Dogs with the gang that he's in. And the stone apparently makes a bunch of people, it taps into a bunch of different people at the same time and just makes them have like migraines. So it just felt like a really slow setup. But I did really like the art. Just the storytelling was so slow. But the last couple pages, the art in it is just it's just freaking fantastic. Cause it's got this like, almost like Storm looking girl with like a kind of like Storm when she was in the like the Savage Land style look to her. Yeah. Which was really cool. But man, was that book just so boring. I like Black Manta as a character, so but check it out.
I think the thing that sucks about what you just told me was that they're going this route with a lot of these mini series. And if you're going to kind of pigeonhole writers and artists into doing short mini series, 6 issues, or even if it's a 12 issue, I don't think you can take your time with that. I think you have to almost like full force get right into it, you know? So you're telling me like this slow start that doesn't like make me feel good about where the other 5 issues could go.
Right.
You know? So,
yeah,
I mean, I hope they can take that and learn from it for, you know, future things, but
yeah, I mean, it didn't even have like enough art to enough good art to really grab me and yeah. then send me on my way to kind of juxtapose the bad writing. Like, that just, yeah. well, not that the writing was bad. It was just very slow. Sometimes, you know, issue two low really picks it up and kicks it into gear. This one just felt really set up and really, like, really set up, but there's also a lot going on, but it's not yeah. like fast enough to keep your attention span. That's all. So, however, I will say I did read this morning after just waking up while I was drinking my cup of coffee. So,
okay.
I may also have just been half asleep.
Well, if we're going to talk about good art, then we have to talk about this next book, because Javier Rodriguez,
the cover alone is sexy. Oh my god.
That is the mother of Galactus.
What? The Eternal?
Taiea, I think is
yeah,
her name.
The Eternal? Yeah.
If I'm understanding it correctly, she's the mother of Galactus.
Oh wait, sorry. You said Galactus, not Thanos. Sorry.
Yeah,
the mother correct. Of Galactus. Thanos is a Eternal.
Yeah. Is it okay. Eternal? Yes.
Yeah.
So this book, I'm
does
gonna
she
be
also
honest.
Hunger?
she doesn't, but she what she's trying to do is she's trying to save all of the universes and the different iterations of the universes from this thing called Omnimax. It's Omnimax is like, imagine Galactus, this giant being, but you can't see his face. You see the shadow of the helmet and these creepy eyes. And then you see almost like these Cthulhu tentacles that are coming out of his collarbone. It's absolutely insane. I don't know where Al Ewing comes up with this stuff. I'm going to be honest. A lot of it is stuff that, like, I've never even read things like this before. The Defenders I read, I didn't read a lot of the early Defenders. So like, I know like the street level ones like Bendis did and stuff. So this is all fantastic to me. And it's got me like deep diving into like, okay, who's that? Who's this? Trying to figure out who all these characters are, but it just shows what an understanding Al Ewing has of the things that he writes. Because if you look at Immortal Hulk, he understood Peter David's run, yeah. probably as good as Peter David did, because he tapped into that psychology side of it. And then you look at this and all of these things, and I'm, you know, there's a character at the end I'd never heard of before, and I don't care if I sound stupid. Moradin, I had to look him up, and I'm like, oh damn, this guy's an actual dude, like, he's for real. The artwork, the story, the action is insane. Trying to see if I can remember who the character is, but there's a herald for this Omnimax, and his name's like Carl Lorta or something like that. And he comes out and he kind of looks cool. like Archangel, but he has like, he's all metallic, but metallic red. And he's getting Ooh. Ready to take on Silver Surfer. And Silver Surfer actually beats him, even though this guy is the herald of somebody that's stronger than Galactus. Mm-hmm. His cosmic power is stronger, but this guy came in and tried to match a different kind of energy. And Silver Surfer says, you know, if he would have matched me with cosmic power for cosmic power, he would have took me down. And you see Silver Surfer is glowing all yellow. So I'm really excited to see where they go with this, because we've seen Silver Surfer go down this dark path before with the Silver Surfer Black and Null. And then he had brought forth the Captain Universe, you know, energy. And now he's going through this transformation where he's, let's see if I can, I'll show you. I didn't do a screenshot of it. And I'm just like, what is going on with him? The coolest moment, though, of the whole issue was when Silver Surfer comes face to face with this crib. And who's in the crib is Baby Galactus. He's still a baby. And Silver Surfer picks him up and he's talking and his hand starts to glow yellow. And he's, and Mass Raider's like, boom, points a gun at him. He's like, you can't kill that baby. And he's like, kill that baby. So he plays it off like he was doing a light show to trick the Masked Raider into thinking, you know, that he wasn't going to kill him. But apparently, from what Silver Surfer says monologuing is that he alters something within Galactus, some kind of energy or something, and he's hoping that it is enough to make the change that's needed. So I'm interested to see where that goes. I will tell you right now, when Immortal Hulk came out, there wasn't a whole bunch of people, at least at our store, at the, you know, the mall at the time, that was reading it. And I'm like, people, you got to be reading this book. This book is amazing.
That happened everywhere. That happened everywhere. Just, you know.
And I felt like, I was like, man, am I onto something? Because I jumped on the first issue. Because I wanted to try a really good Hulk solo book. If you're not reading something that Al Ewing is writing, then I don't know why you like comic books. This guy is amazing. This is a 5 or 6 issue miniseries. You should be reading this. It's fantastic. If you're not reading We Only Find Them When They're Dead, that's fantastic also. If Al Ewing is writing it, just like Donnie, treat him like Donnie Cates. If he's writing it, pick it up. You should be reading it. It's fantastic. So I'm excited
good. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, I'm just excited because of all these things I don't know that like I'm diving into now, trying to be like, whoa, what is this? What's going on? Who's this character? And trying to see, is that a new character? Is it somebody that existed before? Because it's all this cosmic stuff that just like Eternals that I don't know too much about. I never got into that side of it.
So that's fair.
Yeah.
So does Galactus's mom have a name, or do they just refer to her like Mama Lactus?
No. Like... yes, Mama Lactus. I think it was Taiea, or let me.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
Yeah. I Taiea? Believe that was. It's like
she's T-A-A, a magic card.
T A A I A.
Oh, okay.
Taiea.
If that second G or A was a G, should be Taiega, which is a magic card. So
yes.
But I'll tell you what, Galactus is already an ancient being. And if she's older than him, she looks killer, man. Like, what is she doing to keep her looks so good? Like, she eating even more planets? Like, what are you doing?
I think if I remember correctly, this was during the 5th iteration of the universe. Here's a kind of a quick, if you can see it, of the Omnimax dude.
Oh.
And he's got this giant machine that he's using that like sucks the life out.
Galactus meets Casey Jones from
Cthulhu
Galactus. Or not Casey Jones. Davy Jones from
Pirates
of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, that Davy Jones. I was
the squid beard. Yeah. It's like him cosplaying as Galactus. Like
look at this panel like right here with that clashing. Yeah, that's what
it's very clashing. That who did the art in this?
That's Javier Rodriguez. It's the guy that did the history of the Marvel Universe with Mark Waid.
Okay, it's very. Yeah. He has a very similar style to. I can't think of his name. The guy who did Luther Strode with Justin.
You're thinking Trad Moore?
Yeah. He's not as like abstract about it, but he's got a very similar palette.
I think the thing that helps make it or that makes it seem. More similar to is his colors are gorgeous, and I believe he colors the book as well. I think he does almost all of it.
That's awesome.
So yeah,
very cool. All right, my last book of the night, Masters of the Universe Revelation number 3. We are plowing through this. So as you may remember, I gave the first one a very good review. The second one was crap, because it it was the Skeletor backstory change that I didn't like. This one is Evil-Lyn's backstory, and it kind of shows her running away from abusive parents that were going to eat her. Like, so her real parents sold her into sort of slavery, but actually were going to literally eat her like cannibals. So she runs away, finds this old crazy sorceress in the sewer, learns magic from her, eventually goes back and tries to kill those crazy bad we'll call them step parents, right? Foster parents, whatever. And then Skeletor shows up, and there's this really awesome panel of him. Let me see if I can show you guys this panel, like where he's got like the Horde belt, which is awesome. So he's still part of the Horde, and brings her kind of into the fold, and you know, eventually, like, they end up becoming lovers eventually. And then, like, at the end of the issue, there's an awesome Beastman like moment, where he sees like a bunch of their a bunch of the Skeletor bad guys, like, all like having their asses kicked outside of Snake Mountain, and then you just see like He-Man and Teela show up at the end. But this book, like, I give this book a better review than the second issue, but not as good as the first issue. But I still like it. I still love that we're getting good He-Man anything. And I thought the TV show was the first half of the season was very good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I've always loved Evil-Lyn as a character. I like what they did with her. I think everything they're doing with Skeletor is just weird, and that's my only real complaint about it. So, but yes, Carl, good old sewer magic. It's also weird to think that that's where she really learned magic. It's like, really? You learned it down the sewer? Super weird. Super weird. But all right. So you got some really cool some news from a traveling Thursday warrior.
Yes.
And I have some pictures to share. So you talk about it, and then I'll pop up the picture in a second.
So Ron, the guy who is responsible for the name Thursday Warriors, told me that he was going to Ireland. And he said, I messaged Declan Shalvey. And I said, oh. And he is, yeah. And I don't know what part of Ireland he was going to, but apparently it was the part that was close to him.
Like, and near, he said, Dublin? Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, I'm meeting up with him for a beer, and I couldn't have done it without you guys. And I'm like, okay, sure you are. And then he sends me this. Ron and his wife and Declan Shalvey hanging out, having a beer together. First of all, what an awesome thing for Ron. Second, what an awesome thing for Declan Shalvey to do. I mean, I think most people would be like, especially celebrities, big celebrities would be like, oh, this is no way. I'm not doing that. I don't know this guy. He's like, this guy's a fan. He supports my work. He buys my stuff. Heck yeah, I'm going to go have a drink with him. And he met him and had a drink. And then he also.
I find it funny in this photo that there's only one pint glass.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so. Did Declan have the pint and Ron and his wife were just like, no, just take the photo? Or is it like mid switch out of pints? Or is it like, we're just finishing up type of thing?
Yeah.
You know,
was there three straws in one?
Yeah. Were they sharing a Guinness milkshake? Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So, but still very cool. Congratulations, Ron and his wife. That's awesome. Anyway.
Yeah.
Continue on, and I'm ready.
So Ron says, and he did this for me, and he sends me a picture of this book. Declan signed his number one, Time Before Time, and did a head sketch on it. He put it to Ron. This book was bought at the waterfront. Our book from the waterfront made it to Ireland in the creator's hands, signed and sketched by him. That is cool.
I agree. And that book's been doing very good. Yeah, if you haven't picked it up, check it out. I think the first arc's almost done.
The trade comes out. It might be on FOC right now. The trade might be on FOC. So that should be coming out soon. And I think I'm trying to get the artist to come on.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Declan gave me his contact information. So hopefully he can come on and talk about the first arc and what to expect for the second arc. And that would be awesome.
Cool. Sounds super cool.
Awesome for Ron.
I'm so happy for him. That's so cool.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
I'm glad we could help facilitate that. Yeah. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons why he's not watching right now, because it's like 3 a.m. over there.
Yeah.
Hopefully he had another pint with Declan and just passed out. So I just, like you said, he was on he was actually watching the auction.
Sale.
So, yeah. So part of me is just, I have this like vision of like him sitting in his bed with his phone, like sitting up in the bed, and his wife just being like, go to bed. Turn the phone off. Go to bed. see that happening.
He bought a book. He bought a book from Ireland while he was in there.
That's awesome. Which one did he get? Yeah. Do you know?
It was Blue and Gold number one, Dynamic Forces variant, signed by Dan Juergens.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
So
Carl says, apparently I'm the boring fan.
Never.
No, Carl. Remember that time me and you went to Wendy's? Yeah, that was fun.
Well, speaking of Wendy's,
I could go for a double Baconator right now.
I had the chicken, like the pub chicken sandwich.
Yeah,
oh man, so good. I recommend it highly.
I don't know where we should go next. I'm just going to throw a couple things and then you can pick. So we have What If, right?
Yep.
That we can talk about. And then something amazing dropped today, and that was the Matrix trailer. And we have that.
You say amazing. Also. I say it's okay.
I it has me excited. And then we also have Shang-Chi to talk about. So we've got
Okay. Let's go in reverse order. So let's do
Shang-Chi first.
No. I mean reverse. Oh. Reverse like the newest thing first. So
okay,
we'll go Matrix, then we'll go
What if?
We'll go Shang-Chi at the end. Okay. So that way if anyone hasn't seen it yet, they can hop off before we talk all about it.
So, yeah.
All right. So the Matrix trailer. So here's why I say that. Like I really love the first movie a lot. I mean a lot. But the second and third one, meh. So part of me feels like this is just, hey, we're going to try to cash in on that cash cow of what 30 years ago, you know, the movies came out. And do I think it's still cool? Like, I almost feel like Keanu Reeves is just kind of like, I need to get these movies in now before I'm going to be too old to not do them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I did see like, you know, some of the John Wick stuff and I thought he did great in that, but I don't know. I have a lot of friends who are super pumped about this, who are much bigger Matrix fans than I am, but I'm not like, as long as we get the full cast, like we get Lawrence Fishburne, we get Trinity, like,
well, he's not in stuff. It for sure. They said Lawrence Fishburne's not in it for sure.
But is Agent Smith in it? That is the thing that
I don't know. But I know that Trinity and Neo, because they were the big part of all of this from the beginning. So it makes sense if this Matrix and this next iteration is revolving around them again, because we saw the Oracle at the end and the light shine.
Mm-hmm.
and it kind of washed away that Matrix tone, which is why when this one opens up, it doesn't have that greenish Matrix tone feel, because it's this new iteration. So I'm excited to see if they can take it somewhere different. There's two things that worry me when they do this. One, are they just going to take it down this path of like The Last Jedi, where it's just like shot for shot for each film, but like different? Or is it going to be this cheap setup for new characters that's handed off that I just don't care about or have an attachment to? If they can find a way to take the characters we're already attached to and make a good story about it, then I think it could be great. But
I agree.
The trailer got.
But then you end up with stuff like Bill and Ted Save the Music.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be about our kids and blah, blah, blah. But
that's what I'm talking about with the handing it off to characters. Like,
yeah,
I don't care like about their kids. And the one was really weird. Ted's kid was really weird.
Oh, she's awesome on, what the hell is it? Atypical. If you've ever watched Atypical, she's awesome on that.
Oh, okay.
But she was like over the top in the Bill and Ted movie though. That was pretty well. They were both very over the top in that movie.
He is not a clean shaved person anymore. When he was younger, great. He looks so much younger yeah. with a beard.
With the beard, yeah,
yeah.
Well, isn't that weird? He's say? Very right. Well, no, he just looks. I just think he looks better. Like he looks healthier with a beard.
Yeah,
like you know, like maybe just like his. The old man neck chin area just doesn't it didn't make it years, you know what I mean? But some people just, you know, and also our taste now compared to then are two different things. Like,
yeah,
you know, back then, you know, you wanted clean shaven and that was the look, and now it's, you know, Dave Grohl every day. Like and he kind of looks like Dave Grohl, so
he does,
it works
he
out. Does. I really wish Dave Grohl would show up. I hope Dave Grohl takes over for Agent Smith so we can have that fight. That'd be super awesome. But to your point of like the green stuff kind of going away and then it going to a new thing. Also think about the fact that 30 years ago, that was really what DOS looked like. And now, you know, computer systems don't have that kind of digital DOS-y stuff. So I'm just curious to know what goes on.
This was the meme somebody had put up almost instantly. Like it says, how does a Matrix movie work in 2021? I'm supposed to be scared of living in a fake reality trapped forever in 1999. Shit, frost my tips and log me in. And I'm so but yeah, I'm excited for it. So we'll see. The next trailer's got to show me more. You know, they got me excited with this one, but they got to show me a little bit more with the next one. So I know really this, I need to know where the story's going. So
yeah, I want it right now. I'm like, all right, you could literally be vibey of any of the three. Like I need a little bit more to know that you're going to be a little closer to the original vibe than the other two. But we'll see how it goes. Like I'm curious to see who the big battle be. I really do kind of hope they have Agent Smith come back, but that dude's like, he's not going to hold up. None of them are,
this isn't going to be like latex. Like the, you know, first one, everybody is just like in everything's latex. It's not going to be that way.
Right. Well, they can de-age him digitally, but I don't know. I mean,
I only trust Marvel when it comes to de-aging digitally. They seem to have the formula down for it. Nobody else has matched them.
You're not wrong. All right.
Spoilers. So, if you didn't watch What If, this is your chance to click out. We're going to talk What If and Shang-Chi. So spoilers are coming.
So since we did do last week's, either like I kind of want to talk about both of the What Ifs.
Yeah, we can do that.
So. Firstly, I think this week was the best one since the first one. last week's was just so dark. Like the Doctor Strange one. I loved it, but it was so dark and sad. I was like, all I could think of was like, man, if I were Doctor Strange and my wife died. Wow. Like, or if I had Doctor Strange's powers and my wife died, I'd probably do that. I'd probably be that guy that said, fuck it, I'm going to try to bring her back. And I'd end up eating all the other, you know, sorcerer demon stuff. And I'd be that side of him. Why? Because I'm selfishly in love with my wife.
I think I was telling Carl was the thing that I think is cool is we had Shumagorath in the first episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got him in this episode. And Doctor Strange cuts his tentacles off. So he's not dead. Shumagorath is not dead. We're going to see him again. And he absorbs just the tentacles and becomes that strong with just the magic that's in. So how strong is Shumagorath? Like, how strong is this guy? Like, is this like worse than Thanos? Because we're talking like magic and things like that. Like, I don't know. I'm excited to see this guy. I really hope after seeing just those two episodes that he kind of was in a little bit, I'm really hoping the rumors are true that he's in Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, I really kind of hope because, you know, this is the what if of the Marvel Universe. So it kind of would make sense to do that. I was glad it wasn't Dormammu. Like he didn't do anything with Dormammu in it.
Yeah. But well, they did do a little bit. They showed like, you know, briefly Dormammu, but yeah, it wasn't about Dormammu. He wasn't like in this really. So,
and I thought it was cool that he's like, I'm not here to bargain. Like,
yeah,
he says something like that. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't taking any shit.
Right. But this week's episode, this week's episode was the Marvel Zombies. You know, as somebody who grew up in the greater Pittsburgh area and like, you know, grew up with Romero movies and then grew up with the Marvel Zombies comic, I thought this was probably the best adaptation for the MCU they could have done. Like, I love the fact that it wasn't Deadpool's head. It was Scott Lang's head. And then giving him the cape was awesome.
Wingardium Leviosa as he flew away was amazing. I was like, that feels like a lawsuit.
I was in Cranberry today and Lauren and I were talking about it. And he said it was very Futurama-y it was to have him like in the case and stuff. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
But I thought the like seeing Hope be Giant Woman was awesome. Like, cause we never actually saw that in the movies.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that Kurt made it all the way to the end, or almost to the end, I should say.
Yeah.
Spider-Man
was great. Don't forget Happy Hogan. Blam, 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 blam. I was like, it was so funny. And then even when he was a zombie, it was like, blam. it was so funny.
I was a little sad to see Sharon taken out, though. That really surprised me. I thought she was going to make it a little further. But man, like they pretty much hit all the right parts and made it, and they tied it into like Captain America 2. I was really surprised, that when they got to the camp that they didn't mention MODOK though. Cause he was like, or not MODOK, sorry.
Arnim Zola.
Zola. Yeah. Like that him and Vision weren't like talking at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, computer to computer. But man, was that fucking zombie Scarlet Witch one of the scariest things I ever could fathom in that universe. I was like, whoa, that's terrifying.
The scariest part for me was watching the whole episode, seeing Chadwick Boseman's name in the credits at the beginning and going, oh shit, are they going to do a dead version of him? They can't. Oh, I hope they don't go there.
Oh,
they can't go there. And then they didn't. They stuck to the story of the original comic and where Hank Pym was cutting off pieces and basically like enlarging them, right? And so he could eat them for himself. And yeah. I thought that, I was like, oh, thank God they didn't do it. They kept it to the original story. And he's still alive. And I thought that was freaking awesome. So it feels like we're going to get second episodes for all of these storylines now after a couple, or at least for a few of them.
Or like in the second season, you mean? Because there's only
in
like,
the second. What, I thought there was 10 episodes in this, left. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've seen five, right? Five or six. Yeah. So you might be right.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So. Spider-Man was great. Haven't you guys ever watched a horror movie? Yeah.
So. That was pretty awesome. I don't know if we're going to get that second part of this story, though, because, like, it would have to be the whole Wakanda zombies Thanos part. Because, like...
Yeah, we're like, not going to get the Silver Surfer Galactus part in the comics, for sure.
Because they, like... Because they've already killed off over half the zombie...
Yeah,
like stable of heroes, right? That you would want to find out what happened to them. I also really enjoyed Banner's outfit. Because I was like, why is he dressed like Hawkeye? Like the whole time, that's all I could think about is why does he look like Hawkeye?
How cool was it though when like the zombie went to bite him and he kind of turned into the Hulk because his skin's impenetrable? I thought that was kind of cool. So
I did too. I did too. Yeah. So, and then when he just like Hulk just starts beating the Scarlet Witch, just starts like literally like pounding on her.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap. I want to see like a half hour of that fight. Like that's what I want to see. Man, was it good. So good.
I think the worst episode so far has been the one with it where they killed the Avengers. Easily the worst episode where they kill them all off.
I don't know. I really didn't care for the Guardians episode.
Really? That's my favorite one. I go Guardians, Doctor Strange, this one, and then like Hydra Stomper, and then that crappy... I don't know. It was cool to see, but it's like, oh, let's see how they kill the Avengers. The only one that was actually kind of cool was seeing how they killed the Hulk, you know?
Yeah.
The rest of them was like, how do you kill Hawkeye? I don't know. Why do I care? It's like, he's just going to get old and not be able to shoot as good anymore anyway. So, like, let old age take its course.
Right. So. I would probably put that as my second least favorite. But I also thought it was kind of cool to see how you would kill all those guys. But I just thought it was I thought the reveal of it being old man Hank Pym in the yellow jacket was the part that was bad for me.
Yeah, because they didn't really tell you like that Hope had died. So usually when you have like a thing like that where you want to solve a mystery, it's like, here's a little hint somewhere. And it's like, oh man, I remember when they did that way back 20 minutes ago, but they didn't have that. So it felt kind of like empty.
Yeah, that was kind of, that's kind of why I was like, where the hell did that come from? Like type of, you know, and that's why I put it second to last. Like I just, the Guardians one, I just didn't care for it. Just when they made like the weird chimera version of the collector, I was like, no guys. And then like Thanos just being like basically another Drax. I was like, nah, I'm good.
The one part I didn't like in the Guardians with the collector was, even though Del Toro did the voice acting, it just, I don't know if it's because he's a method actor or what, it just didn't come off as the collector the way he does it in
on screen
the movies. Yeah. So that was also the only part.
They didn't really catch his facial features.
No, and his like quirky mannerisms and stuff, you know. It's like almost everything he says is almost like a production, you know, like a Broadway play or something. And they didn't really get that in that. So,
well, at least he didn't like put in a fake stutter like he did when he was DJ in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So now we're going to talk about Shang-Chi. So if you haven't watched it, also special announcement, we're going to be going live next Thursday morning because I'm going to see Jeff Tate and Queensryche in Cranberry that night. So we're going to do it Thursday morning or early afternoon. We haven't really settled on a time, but I would say a safe bet would be between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. would be our start time, somewhere in between there.
Yeah, so try and make it. And if you can't, then, you know, it'll still be posted for that night, should be up, that you could just watch it at night. So we hope you can watch it, but it'll still be up for you to watch later. So
right. It'll be breakfast with the Toddcast. It'll be good time.
Yes. It'll still be our Thursday Warriors. It'll just be Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, waking up from partying all night, yes. Warriors.
Wake up, San Francisco.
So, all right. So let's talk about some Shang-Chi. Dude, this movie just blew me the fuck away.
Like, I loved it.
So good. I went last Thursday, so opening night, I went to the Mills, which I was it was glad to see that the theater there is open. And it was only like $8 after fees. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It was me and like 12 people, one little kid. And I was actually very impressed by this little kid because normally when you think of little kids going to a movie, like especially a superhero movie, you think about, oh, they're going to talk the whole time and they're going to like make comments. And this kid was awesome. He asked one question the whole time. His dad answered it and he was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he just kept going. And you know, it was great. But I loved that it had like homages for like Jackie Chan. It had homages for Bruce Lee. It touched on the immortal weapons. It touched on the seven cities. We actually got a Mandarin that didn't suck. Like,
yeah.
Or we actually got a Mandarin. How's that for answer? Way to say
but
it?
didn't want to call himself Mandarin. He was like, what am I? I name myself after an orange.
It was a chicken dish. A chicken dish. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that part was actually really brilliant and really funny. When they talked about having Trevor at all, and then they actually to bring him in there and have him as a character in there. Honestly, I thought he was the worst part of the movie. Mostly the scene where they find him.
He was, because I thought he was in it too much. If you wanted to do it to where you wanted to finish fixing that problem, because the original problem was that he wasn't the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. And then they came out with that short that was at the end of, it was on the DVD, I think, of one of the movies, where he gets picked up from prison by the Ten Rings. So if you wanted to fix that problem, that's fine. Fix it. It's a 2-minute thing. It's awkward. You know, he shows up. It's a little funny, but for him to be the rest of the way through the movie, I think that was the only thing that was kind of like, I didn't need that. So, but let's rewind to the beginning for a second, because that movie really just starts out like right away. Yeah. Hey, I'm getting on a like, first of all, the action with the Mandarin, the original Mandarin, and his backstory was fantastic. Yep. And then you wake up and it's Shang-Chi is in bed, and then he just gets on the bus and it's like, boom, action right away. Yep. Razor fist.
Yep.
Awesome bus fight scene. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I love Awkwafina, and she was freaking awesome in this movie, and she was hilarious.
That's one thing I will definitely agree with, and I will also say that a lot of my problems with some of the movies in general is sometimes there's too much humor, or sometimes it feels out of place or forced. I thought she was really
Ragnarok. Sorry,
Guardians of the Galaxy, Suicide Squad. But I really feel that like it was well tempoed. The timing, like the pacing of the movie was good, and so were the joke pacing. Like, it wasn't just joke after joke after joke. It was like real life situation style joke. Like,
yeah,
something would happen and you were like, oh yeah, I can definitely, I have a friend who would say that thing right there in that situation. Or I'm that guy that would say that thing in that situation right there. You know, so I, that's why I really thought it was good. Like I thought it was very, like I said, well-paced humor. I thought she was great.
The fight scene in the bus was great.
And that's the Jackie Chan scene that I was talking about.
That, and I think the one on the scaffolding too was very, but man, on the bus, there was that really cool scene. I was just like, oh damn. Because he takes the jacket off and he wraps it around the guy. And then after he hits him, he flips it back around and gets his arms in it. And I was like, teach me that move. Because I take my time and put it on one sleeve at a time and I can't find the armhole. How the hell did he do it? So that was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That was very Jackie Chan. And then I thought that the scaffolding fight was very reminiscent of like, what's the movie that Jackie Chan did? Rush Hour, the third one where they were hanging from like the banners and stuff. You know, it was very reminiscent of that. But the fight scene with the Mandarin with his dad and his mother, it was in a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon kind of format. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah. It wasn't even like, oh, that's so badass, all that. It was just like elegant. And there was like all this flowing. And I think that was the cool thing.
It's like watching ballet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the cool thing that they did in this movie was they said, we're going to make a movie for Chinese people about a Chinese superhero. And they captured a lot of like, I guess, the feeling of that history. It just had that feeling. So I thought they did a really good job with that. Mm-hmm. My words are escape. I can't think of how I want to describe it, but you think you get where I'm going.
I do. I also like that in that same vein, like how they had not just like, you know, the Mandarin who is 1,000 years old Chinese, but they have Shang and Awkwafina's character who are like the modern Chinese where he knows Chinese very well. And he understands a lot of the history and stuff. And then there's her and she's like, I barely can speak it.
you know,
because they had migrated to the US and I thought that was cool that they hit that, I guess, sect of that demographic. I thought that was cool that they would do that. Very similar to how they did like in Black Panther, how what's his name? Michael B. Jordan's character basically grew up in the hood, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, and but yet, and then T'Challa grew up in like Africa. So like, and they hit the two like demographics that they were, I would bet that they were trying to target. You know, and I thought that they did that same kind of idea here, and I thought it worked very well. And this movie was just so fucking amazing. Like,
let's talk about this though. They changed the Ten Rings, and a lot of people were a little upset at first because they made them these bracelets. They're rings, but they're on your arm, 5 on each, because they didn't want to get too close to rings because they just did this big thing with Thanos and you know, Infinity Gauntlet. But maybe it's because it's so far removed from this, the way he used those was, it felt very like Whiplash from Iron Man 2. You know, he did a lot of like jumping stuff, which was cool. It had some cool effects there, but like when he was doing like things like this and twirling, like it had a very Whiplash feel to it. So I just thought it was interesting that they wanted to distance themselves from one thing, but then kind of in a way mimicked another thing from another movie.
I think that was intentional though. Well, firstly, the rings they use that go in the arms are used for martial arts strength training, which I, you know, also fit the idea. But the Mandarin and Whiplash are both primarily Iron Man villains. So that made sense to kind of have that, because it almost like justified the Mandarin and Whiplash, because let's face it, the Whiplash we got in Iron Man 2 was not great. I really wanted to see him riding the like the black serpent Pegasus thing he has.
They wasted a good actor for sure.
They kind of, because they kind of hybrided him with the Gremlin and Titanium Man, or Crimson Dynamo, even, like, depending on how you want to look at it. But I really, I agree. Like, it was very whippy, which, you know, there's also like that style of martial arts with weapons that do that. So it just felt more natural to.
It felt like it belonged, and it wasn't just
blast, because that's really what Mandarin in the comics with his rings is mostly just blast.
No, it was like, because you could see the rings, like they would like come off and like propel him and push, and that was all really cool.
Yeah, and like during the fight scene toward the end where they're all like swirling around them, I thought it was awesome. Oh man, I really want to go see this thing in IMAX.
The anime fan in me wanted one thing to be different. And it's just more nitpicking, but like when the dragon monster thing has the 10 rings inside and it's weakening its stomach, and then he's, you know, manipulating it, and he just kind of like that, and it blows up. I thought it would have been cool had they pulled out and showed like this, maybe like silhouette view of the two of them. And then he did like this flying kick down through its stomach, like straight through, and landed on the ground. And then it was just like, and it blew up. I thought that would have been cool, but I understand that's like more like an anime or cartoon thing, but it would have been cool to see him use some kind of martial arts to kick and like go through and finish him off that way.
I mean, so. I kind of agree. I wish that they would have been cooler than just like this move, but you know, it would have been also just as equally as ridiculously cool had he done like a this move and done like Kamehameha style.
Well, because he was like powering it up, and I'm like, oh damn, he's gonna do a Kamehameha. And I think they made that joke or something along that lines. Awkwafina was like, and then he was doing this, and he was gonna do a Kamehameha.
Like a dinner at the end.
At dinner at the end. So, and we did get to see a dragon get punched in the face. So
very true.
we heard about it in two seasons of Iron Fist, where he's just like, I'm the immortal Iron Fist, every five freaking seconds. We heard about him punching a dragon in the face. We never got to see it. And then we finally, I don't care who it was, I got to see a dragon get punched in the face. I was happy.
Right. Well, I thought it was cool that they basically made his mom one of the immortal weapons.
Yeah.
Because she was the protector of that ancient city.
Of Talu.
Which if you didn't actually notice, like Matt Fraction gets a very special thank you at the very end.
I saw. And
it's for all, I'm pretty sure it's for his immortal weapons stuff that they bring into that. But man, like, just so good. The only thing that I thought was funny was somebody pointed out that the mom left armor for the siblings when the last time she saw them they were children, but yet they were form-fitting perfect. I really wanted it to be like, I can't get this shirt on. Or maybe it's dragon scale, it probably expands. It just fits, like it just goes, and it's like Under Armour, it just fits, right?
Yeah.
Like, but oh man.
You know who else got a credit?
Who was that?
This past week. Ron Frenz got another credit in this week's
What If
episode of What If.
Yeah, for Hope. Yeah. They probably wrote him like a $50 check and were like, here you go. Like,
yeah
slightly smaller than the one from the Ant-Man movie
yeah.
Oh, well, if you haven't seen
if you guys haven't seen this movie, you should go out and see it. I didn't want to go into the end credit scenes because.
So, okay. This is everybody's last chance to get off this if you don't want to spoil.
Okay.
Because I do want to talk about the mid credit scene very quickly.
Yes.
Okay. So.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler. Okay.
So, if they're trying to correct that Mandarin lore, the scene in the mid credits where Wong's talking to the, you know, Captain Marvel and Banner and Shang-Chi and his girl, about what what this signal is doing and where it's going, if they're following Mandarin lore, I feel it's going to Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are like, no, it's going to the Celestials because blah, blah, blah. Or because they say that the color of the way the rings turned is similar to the color of the Celestial or the Eternals weapons in the Eternals trailer. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I would think that the Kree would have that knowledge. So Captain Marvel would have that knowledge.
Yeah.
But in the comics, the rings themselves come from the same dimension as Fin Fang Foom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of almost did it anyway. Cause like, so, the city that everything went down in at the final scene was very reminiscent of the Valley of the Sleeping Dragon, which is the people that protect Foom as he sleeps on Earth.
Yeah.
And it would be a great way to tie Fantastic Four because he fought Fantastic Four quite a bit.
Yeah.
So how cool would that be if the big bad for this phase ends up being Foom? Like,
well, I know Purple they Pants said
himself.
I think the reason, and it was kind of a bummer that they had an actual dragon in this movie, but it wasn't the one that we all know and love. You know what I mean? But I think I remember hearing something that they were in works to develop a monster universe movie similar to like the Kong Godzilla stuff, and that he was going to be used for that. So we'll have to wait and see, but I thought the other thing that was really interesting was Banner being there, and he had his arm in a sling, but he was in Bruce Banner form. So last time we saw him, he was Smart Hulk, and now
he did have the messed up arm though.
Yeah, he had the messed up arm, but he regressed down to. So it'll be interesting to see, like, did he do that? Did something else happen? Can he still turn, you know, what's the deal there? So I'm excited to see that. I'm sure we'll find out more in the She-Hulk show.
I was just going to say, we don't know if this, because of all the COVID backlog of stuff, we don't know if this takes place before or after She-Hulk. I imagine it would still be before She-Hulk.
I would think.
I kind of feel that maybe after everything that happened and he was Professor Hulk for years, he just kind of went, yeah, it's cool. I'll just go back to normal. Or maybe he can't fit in the projector
thing. Like the Hulk.
Right, yeah. Right. I don't know. Maybe Hulk's just having a break day, you know? Maybe he's all kind of how he was in Infinity War. He's like, nope, not coming out. Nope,
and
nope,
then they're
nope.
Like, Captain Marvel's there. And I'm one of the few people that doesn't hate the Captain Marvel movie, and I don't really hate
I love
her
the Captain Marvel
as Captain great. Marvel, but like having her just be there and be like, oh, sorry, I gotta deal with the thing, like, girl, you're always leaving, like, you leave all the time, so like, don't even show up in my end credit scene because you're just leaving things all the time. Like, you weren't here till the end of the battle with Thanos. Like, thanks for taking out that ship, but like, just go somewhere and do your thing and quit interrupting my stuff.
I my wife recently rewatched United States of Terra, and you watch Brie Larson when she was 19 playing a 16-year-old up through being like 21 on the show, and you really do get to see her be a lot more or a lot less dry than she was in parts of the movie. But I also thought that that was part of how the character was in the movie. Like, you know, she started as a military person, then she had no memory, and then as the movie progressed, she got more and more open and more and more like, you know,
she's emoted a lot better.
She emoted more. She was less militant. You know, and I thought that I thought it really showed in the Infinity War stuff that that's how she is. And I thought this was a good way to show, no, really, she has personality, because she was kind of jokey about some stuff in there. I just thought it was good. I just like to see her in there and to basically be like, I thought it was a good way to be like, oh, you thought my movie was going to suck too, huh? Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I almost wanted them to like have a cool high five moment with the like her and Shang-Chi just have a digital high five.
Yeah.
like hologram high five.
Yeah.
So, but I like I said, all around it was great. So we were talking about this before the show. I put it out of the 25 Marvel movies at number four in mine. So I will give you my top three ahead of it, and then you can tell me where yours are and your whatever you're above it. And then we want to hear from you, the Thursday Warriors, what your top, what your 25 order is. So mine is Iron Man 1 is number one because it's the movie that set it all off for everything. It set the tone. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite movies. I watch it probably three or four times a year anyway. Two is Winter Soldier, because there were so many practical effects in that thing. It was gorgeous. The story was great. The pacing was good. You know, it had like that sort of anti-hero vibe with Winter Soldier. And it had like the redeeming of what that can be for people. Because I'm a big believer in people can redeem themselves. Thanks, comics. And then my number three is the first Avengers movie, because that was the pinnacle that set everything else forward.
I always forget about First Avengers, and it is great, a great movie. It's almost classic, like in a way, when you look at all of the films, like it just has that classic feel. I always forget about that movie. I shouldn't.
You know, because it was the first time it really tied everything together, and then, you know, you wouldn't have had such cool cameos in pretty much anything after that without that movie and Iron Man 2, because that's where we got Black Widow to be in there. You know, and that was kind of the thing. So
yeah, that was all like right. What, like, oh my god, they're crossing over another character. Yeah. So my number one, you did your top three, right?
Well, I did my top three, but only because Shang-Chi was four. Number five is Infinity War. I thought Infinity War was not Endgame, Infinity War.
Yeah, Infinity War.
Yeah.
So Winter Soldier is my number one movie. My number two would probably be Doctor Strange. My number three would probably be Iron Man. Four would be Infinity War, and five would probably be Guardians, because I didn't know a ton about Guardians, and they made me like, you know, Guardians. They made me, oh man, I got to grab Guardian books and read it. And I feel like sometimes, like, it might not be everybody's on there, but like, if they can get me to do that, then I feel like they're doing part of what they're setting out to do, is get people to love characters and then find out more about them and read about them.
Yeah.
So I put that at five, and then Shang-Chi was number six. I feel like maybe I had Black Panther in my top five. It should be in my top five. So I might have to re-look at things because Black Panther's great. But I'll stick with that. I'll stick with that for right now. So
yeah, I definitely would back Black Panther's definitely in the top 10. For sure. It's probably, I bet it's like 6. I think Doctor Strange would be my 5. And then Black Panther would probably be 6 for me. And then Captain Marvel might be right after that. Only because I've loved Carol since the 90s. So, I mean, come on. And for all you people who like Rogue, she would be nothing without Carol Danvers.
Right.
I just the only reason she's a powerhouse.
I hope we get that on the big screen though, one day.
That moment, that scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if I think we're already past that possibility.
I don't know. I mean, Rogue, I don't know. I feel like we could still get it. We'll see.
I think it would be cool if they worked it into the Marvels movie. And like at the end, she gets powered down by Rogue. And then Miss Marvel and then maybe Photon takes over as Captain Marvel for a while.
Yeah.
And then when she comes back, we get like a whole Brood binary storyline, which would be goosebumps thinking of that.
I would love if they did Brood and a lot more of the Claremont like space stuff. That would be awesome for X-Men. The only reason I hope they don't go that route is because then they have to you would have to have Mystique in there at some point. Yeah. And I just have had my fill of Mystique from those movies. She did not need to be as prominent.
Yeah, but
she just didn't need to be that much, you know?
Yep.
So,
and I'll be honest, I want to see her in like the white dress outfit.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. You know. Oh, Carl's posted his Infinity War, Iron Man 1. That's Iron Man 1 because I almost read as Iron Man 3, which we all know would be wrong.
Yep. Avengers,
Doctor Strange, and then Civil War. But only because of Spider-Man. I'll be honest, that's probably the only real reason to watch Civil War. That whole fight scene was really the only part of that movie that I thought was good. Everything else,
but it did make it.
Yeah,
that's how good of a fight scene it was that you'll go, I need to put Civil War on just to get to that fight scene.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I really feel that was really the main part of that movie that was good. Although they did a good job adapting Civil War's main ideas from the comics to the screen that made at least enough sense to make that rift and have the two sects of Avengers, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right.
Your dog's mad at you.
Well, my wife's downstairs with him. He is not happy. I don't know if he has to poop or if he is just laying on the couch wrong. Like, you know, he's 14. He has 3 good legs and a lot of arthritis. And you know, he's a trooper, man. He's going blind. Like every time I look at him and I see the little like smoky in his eyes, all I think is kisses going blind. I start singing it to him. It's pretty bad because I'm not a great singer. So, yes, Carl, you are correct. It does not touch the comic as though as close at all for awesome. Actually, Civil War was the book that got me back into comics. I was working at KB Toys in Shenango Valley Mall, and the manager there was a huge comic guy, and I was like, oh, I kind of used to be blah blah blah. So his name is Matt. I took over for him. He transferred to Century 3. He ran it for a month and he was just too far away from his kids. He needed to come back. So, he ran it for 2 months while I ran the Shenango store. So he comes back and then I get sent to Washington, and that's actually what brought me to Pittsburgh. So, and while he was down here at Century 3, we had just opened the store at Century 3 upstairs. So you know, he was like, dude, when you go down there, you gotta check out this comic store. And we lived 2 miles from there, so you know, that was how I ended up shopping at NDC. And now I'm
I bought every single one of the sketch, the Michael Turner sketch covers for Civil War. And then I, at one point, was like, oh, I got rid of stuff. And I got rid of them. And then he passed away, and I wish I would have never got rid of them.
Yeah, well,
they were expensive. They were like $115, $125 each at the time. So,
I remember, I just remember Matt coming back up on weekends and hanging out at the store and telling me all about the Civil War comic and how they killed Cap and Winter Soldier was a thing. And this was all like happening at the time. And I'm just like, damn it. Now I need to go and check this out. So I went to a little shop in Clarion because I was living in Oil City and picked up some of those books and started kind of reading again. And then when I moved here, I was like, all right, let's go see what they have. And I was like, Iron Man, Green Lantern, just picked all the favorites, started a subscription. I used to trade toys that I would buy at KB Toys for store credit to buy my comics.
Nice.
So, because the guy that worked there was like a big toy guy. So now I think he works at Hyde's, I think. So, but anyway, let's see here. Wow, Dan, about Tap. That's awesome. Yeah, man, me too. All right, guys. Well, we'll let you know what time next Thursday, earlier time we're doing.
We'll post.
But I want to do it early because I'm still going to be already beat because I'm going to go into a concert Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, and then dealing with the basement sale. So if you see me at the basement sale, just bring coffee. Just bring coffee. Mm-hmm. Black coffee, as strong as you can get it. Just keep it coming. Keep it coming. I will help you shop your books. Maybe.
What's that brand called? It's like Death Wish Coffee.
Oh, yeah. I have some downstairs. It's awesome.
Yeah.
They sell it in bags, and they're not pre-ground. So you have to grind them. So I have to dig out my grinder for that. But anyway, thanks for watching.
Thursday Warriors.
We appreciate you. Yep. And we'll catch all of you next week.
Like, subscribe, share with your friends. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.